Lord, thank you for these children. Raise them up to be lovesick followers of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. In talking about my testimony, not when I got saved, when I got set free, after I got saved, often I'll share this, that I would read John 10:10, which says, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Okay, you want to pray for us? That way I can blame you if it doesn't go well, okay? So I remember telling the Lord, when I'd read that verse over and over again, and I knew that the word, I came that you, that's plural, so it had to mean all of us, any of us, no matter where we had come from, what we had done. And at some point, I came to the place when I said, Lord, you would never lie, and your word is true. So this can't be your problem, that I'm not experiencing this. It must be my problem. And here's the thing. What I expected was for the Holy Spirit to begin to show me all kinds of sin, to unveil sin. But he never talked to me about my sin. He just began to unveil Jesus to me. He talked to me about Jesus. And see, we have this mindset that he always wants to talk to us about our sin because he's obsessed with right and wrong. What he's obsessed with is your wholeness and your freedom. And what he wants to talk to you about is Jesus. Today, I want to talk to you about forgiveness. And no matter how much you think you know about forgiveness, by your own conversations with the Lord, I bet you don't know as much as you wish you did. Because after all these decades, I'm still learning about forgiveness, the wonders of it all. Jesus said it was for freedom's sake that he set us free. Stand firm, therefore, in your freedom and not be brought into bondage to a yoke of slavery again, living under the law, trying to perform. One night this week, it could have been Sunday night, but Sunday night or Monday night, I think Sunday night. I'm so tired, and I didn't get to sleep until about 2 in the morning. At some point in bed, just before I fell asleep, I had this encounter with the Lord. And the encounter with the Lord came, like this thing started coming out of me from the inside going, I live by the promises. I live by the promises. And I just kept saying that, and it was amazing. The room was filled with glory. It was a great way to go to sleep. And I was reminded of the study we had done the Wednesday before, the last time I was here on Wednesday, about the two covenants. And that you can either live by the law, and Paul was writing to Galatians to say, do you really want to live by the law? Because the law is all about your performance and what you can make happen, what you can maneuver, and what you can manipulate. But grace, the new covenant, is all about God keeping promises. Instead of depending on your own performance to make things happen, you count on God to, by grace, miraculously keep promises every step of the way. I thought, so freeing to not live under the yoke of trying to make things happen anymore. And worry and anxiety is a part of that. Right? Like anxiety and worries about you having these conversations in your head that you hope things are going to turn out the way you want them to, instead of trusting on him to keep promises and resting in that reality. many of us have at times in your life said, Lord, I know I've prayed the prayer about forgiveness and all those things in terms of being forgiven, but I would just love to get a word. I would love to have some kind of supernatural encounter with you where somebody declares over me forgiven about certain things. That's a charismatic thing, and it can happen. But I want to proclaim over you the most important word about that you'll ever hear. It's this. And it's not dependent on somebody got it word right or got it wrong. Did it come out of their spirit or did it come out of their soul? Because we're going to talk about Jesus. We sang that song about his finished work. Talked about Jesus and what he promised. This is what he says. But he, Jesus, offered one sacrifice for sins, plural, for all time, and then sat down at the right hand of God. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, I want to talk to you about eternal forgiveness. That might be a new phrase introduced to you, but people talk about eternal security. Well, you're never going to be secure in anything. You're never going to walk in any kind of freedom in the Lord if you don't understand that you've been eternally forgiven. Therefore, that includes your past, present, and future sins. Colossians chapter 2. For those who come to noon service, who are able to come, I shared a little bit of this on Tuesday, so bear with me. Because I knew I was going to probably do this week. I actually tried to get around doing this word. But it was so provoking in a good way in my heart that I knew I couldn't get away from this. That if I didn't do this word here, I'd have to go stand out in the street and preach it to somebody. So let me read the scriptures to you. We're going to then narrow it down to a few verses. Verse 8 of chapter 2 of Colossians. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, and according to the elementary principles of the world, which is, the elementary principle of the world is you have to achieve if you're going to receive anything. The gospel says you've received everything, now you can go achieve. There's a difference. According to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made full and complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. Nobody can say something other than that. Nobody has another word that has authority that, other than the fact you've been made complete in Christ. And in him you were also circumcised. This is about the crucifixion of the old man. With a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, the circumcision of your heart that the Old Testament talks about. And having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you, and this is these next two verses are the most important ones about forgiveness. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with Jesus, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Hear it again. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you, it's all grace, he did it all, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed or stripped from, to strip off the rulers and the authorities. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through it, the cross. Now, let me just do this about forgiveness. This is verse 7 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the cross, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Forgiveness has everything to do with grace and not your performance. If you don't understand that, then you're not really walking free. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So redemption and forgiveness are connected because they're one whole. It's like one side of the coin and another side of the coin. They're like different, but they're not. They're connected. They're whole. Redemption and forgiveness. And it's all about the cost of the riches of his grace. The word redemption simply is the word to free, to set free, to be free, to loose. The word forgiveness means to put away. So I want you to remember that when we look at these two verses, verse 13 and 14, a little bit more. But remember what forgiveness is about. It's about putting something away, not just covering it up, so you can't peek up into there anymore and check it out and be introspective and guilty. It was put away. It doesn't exist. And therefore, you have freedom. Also, I want you to notice the timeline here in verse 13. We'll start the last part of verse 12. Having been buried with him, it's all past tense, aorist tense for any Greek students out there, which is some reaction, like it's complete, it's done, can't undo it. Most of the time it's past tense. Who raised us up through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. He raised you up when he raised him from the dead. And when you were dead, past tense, in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made, past tense, he did it, alive together with him, having, past tense, completed action, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. Now notice that the timeline of all this is past tense. It all happened at the cross. So what he's talking about here, forgiveness of all our transgressions, all of your sins were future. You had not been born yet. But those things that you did, he anticipated. But they were all future. Sometimes people wonder, well, I know my past sins are forgiven, but what about my future sins? Don't I have to beg God forgiveness for that? Jesus said that having forgiven us all our transgressions, and all of them were future to our experience. Now, the other thing he says, that there's a certificate of debt that's against us and is hostile to us. Have you ever had a sin or some sins that were very hostile to you? If you're like every other Christian, you have. And those are the ones that aren't just against you, but they attack you. They attack you often. They attack you in the silence. They attack you in your thought life. The enemy brings them up. They're hostile to you. They're an adversary. The word literally means adversary. They're adversarial towards you. Now, all sins can be like that, but there are those particular ones, right? that are particularly adversarial. Now, none of you are shaking your head because you don't want anybody to think, yeah, that was me. I'll shake my head for all of you because all of that's you. There are some ones you wish you could get back, right? Those are the ones that are adversarial. They're hostile to you. Wouldn't it be nice to get free from that? Wouldn't it be nice to be not haunted by that? Wouldn't it be great to be in some charismatic conference and the Christian that you respect more than anybody else in the world gave a prophetic word to you and said, look, I know that sometimes you struggle with certain things that you've done and they're like adversarial and they haunt you and it just keeps you at some level stuck to move forward in freedom. When you're free, you can move in any direction. The opposite of freedom is you can't. That you're able just to live freely, to go for it. And God gives you that word. So I want to tell you that you're forgiven. Or the lady gives you the word, you're forgiven. Then you can walk away and go, oh man, thank you God for that word. Well, this scripture is all about that word. The Holy Spirit doesn't just arbitrarily pick out terms. He anticipated, even in light of his finished work, there would be some things that we would do that aren't more difficult for God to forgive, but they just are things that we're so ashamed of that they come back and haunt us. Think about them often. Well, here's my prayer, is that you'll get what's being said today at such a level you'll never think of them again. It'll never haunt you again. Now hear again what he says. Verse 13. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with Christ. Now, you didn't do any of that because you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh. He made you alive together with Jesus. It's just a work of grace. Just amazing. But he said he did that, made you alive together with Christ, your union with his resurrection life, that he might be your new life. He said he's your life in Colossians 3:4. But he says this in verse 13, that he made us alive together with him, having already forgiven us of all our transgressions. That verse I read to you from Ephesians 1:7 and from Colossians 1:14, where it says, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. So think of what I'm about to say with about 15,000 exclamation marks after it. We have redemption because we have forgiveness. We have it. You have it. You may not act like you have it. You may not think like you have it. You may not feel like you have it. But let me just give you this word and treat it like a prophetic word. Imagine that I'm Heidi Baker, though she's a little bit smaller than I am, saying to you, or Bill Johnson, you have forgiveness. As a matter of fact, he says, having forgiven us, plural, all of us, all our transgressions. What? Everything you've ever done, everything you will ever do was anticipated by him. And he says, having forgiven us all. I don't know about you. If you like to do Greek studies, go do Greek studies and find out what the word all means. It means all. As a matter of fact, it means like totally all, completely all. When I saw that verse the other day, I've read that verse 1,000 times. I've taught Colossians so many times over the years. It just blew me away at what he said. Having forgiven. In other words, you had this new life. He raised you up with Christ so that you can share that new life with him. But he took care of everything else so that you could enjoy that life. having forgiven us. It either means what it says or it doesn't. Amen? Will you believe God? Will you believe God's word? God doesn't want to talk to you so much about your sins. He wants to talk to you about what he did concerning your sins. Having forgiven us all our transgressions. So what are you saying? I'm saying that one, or that two, or that whatever, that little bunch that's hostile to you, that's adversarial to you, it's already been forgiven. It's been put away. You're free. You don't have to think about it anymore. You don't have to dwell on it anymore. You can stand your ground, stand firm, and tell the enemy boo when he brings those things up, because that's not you doing it. It's not God doing it. It's the enemy doing it. And his voice sounds a lot like yours. He's conversational. You're having a dialogue, not a monologue. It's already been forgiven. That one's been forgiven. And look what else he says about it. So he just, the Holy Spirit likes, okay, that's hard to believe, right? Having forgiven us all our transgressions, having, past tense, canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. The word canceled out is also past tense, of course, but the word literally means to rub something away, to rub it off. It has the idea of oil, but like you anoint something with oil, but then it has another word attached to it that means the oil's all gone. Whatever the oil that's smeared has now been rubbed out, and it's never even there. As if it was never there. Doesn't exist anymore. That's how forgiven you are. God rubbed it off, and you can't even trace it. Like if you've written something with pencil or pen, and if you have one of those ink that can be erased, or a pencil, and you've erased it, remember how you can still see kind of the indention? You can't even find that it ever happened. He canceled it out. He rubbed it off. He used that word particularly. He rubbed it out. And this is how he did it. He took it out of the way. Now, this is in the perfect tense. I love the perfect tense. Completed action in the past with continual present tense, conscious results. He rubbed it out, the certificate of debt, this like spiritual list of all the things you've ever gotten wrong, past, present, and future in your life. Jesus died for sins for all time. And he lifted it, says he took it out of the way. The word to take it out of the way literally means, think about it this way, this certificate of debt is on the door of your spiritual life. And there's this list of all the broken laws that you've done. Jesus came, and the word literally means to lift it up and take it out of the way forever. And that's a present tense conscious reality every day that no longer exists. Well, what did he do with it? He took it out of the way, lifted it up off the door, spiritual door of my life. He took the certificate of debt and he said, and nailed it to the cross. So was there like this spiritual list of things on the cross? No. This is what, he nailed it to the cross. That's the Father did that. Jesus became your certificate of debt. Jesus became you on the cross. You know that. He died as you. He became your certificate of debt. It's as if Jesus said, I'm Chuck. And these are all the things that I've done. And in my debt, the debt will be paid. And that Chuck will no longer exist. He, the Father, made him who knew no sin become sin. He became your sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. For you and I to entertain things in the past that we've done, to allow that adversary to pour out hostility on us, it makes you feel guilty again and ashamed and wish that you hadn't done it. According to God, you didn't do it. It no longer exists. It's been rubbed out. It was nailed to Jesus. Jesus was that. He became that. And it died in him. And he, having forgiven us all, not some, all our transgressions from the cross. He saw that one coming. And he already rubbed it out before you ever did it. What? Sounds a lot like Genesis. That before they ever fell, it says that Revelation 13:8, that he, the little lamb, was slain before the foundation of the world. That is big stuff. I don't understand it. It's new math. You with me? It's like, you forgave me before I ever did it, and it's rubbed out, and it doesn't exist, and as far as God's concerned, I'm in Christ. I didn't do that. As a matter of fact, I now have your record. And I read this thing to you. This part's on my iPad that I wrote down, and it was too, it was like a paragraph, but too long for me to memorize. Okay. Do you remember, how many of you watched the movie Spartacus? Remember at the end when they're trying to find Spartacus and they're crucifying all these slaves who had become soldiers of Spartacus's army? And as they're lining the road into Rome with these crucified people that are part of Spartacus' army, but they had yet to find Spartacus. They didn't know what he looked like. And as they get to the end, they're getting towards the end near Rome, and there's still a number of men that are to be crucified, and the whatever they're called, the general, Roman general says, who is Spartacus? We want Spartacus. If you'll tell us who Spartacus is, we'll spare the rest of your lives. And so one of the servants who weren't, one of the soldiers who was not Spartacus said, I'm Spartacus. Another one said, I'm Spartacus. And at like 15, I'm Spartacus, I'm Spartacus, I'm Spartacus. So they crucified all of them. I thought about that. At the cross, Jesus goes, I'm Chuck, I'm Claire, I'm Greg, I'm Amelia, I'm Bill, I'm Dan, I'm Kay. I'm responsible for all this. I did that. That's my sin. I'm that certificate of debt hanging around Chuck's neck on the on the door of his life. I'm nailed to it. I'm that certificate. I'm nailed. It's no longer existent. He died as me. He declared, I am Chuck. Those are my sins. And in my death, sin's debt is paid for. And because Chuck has died and a new resurrected Chuck, one with me, now has my record and he has me now as his life. He is no longer under the law, so there can never be another certificate of debt against him. Instead, he has been raised in me to the highest realms of glory, and there's nothing he's deprived of because there is nothing I am not worthy of. That's what it means to be forgiven. It's been put away, rubbed out. Not on your life anymore. It's not hanging around your neck. He hung it around his. It doesn't have the right to be hostile to you unless you give it the right. Unless you refuse to believe what God's word says. You say, well, that just sounds too good to be true. That's called grace. It's so good, and it is the truest thing you've ever known or ever heard. I'll close with a scripture. I won't teach on it, but I'll just share this. This is just kind of in the Word. I sang that this morning in prayer. I guess that's what it was, singing. It says in verse 9 of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, hear this. Hear what grace really is. This is the most condensed understanding of grace of any verse I know of. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would go, do we? Do you? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Stepped out of eternity into our poverty, our spiritual and moral poverty, clothed himself in our brokenness, went to the cross, became so poor that he allowed himself to be crucified as you, and buried, absolutely, totally dependent on the Father, raising him from the dead, so that in him you might have life and have it more abundantly. Everything that you ever did no longer exists because he owned it. I love the old description of justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Having forgiven us all our transgressions. Stop asking him to forgive you of those things. He already did it. We will not crucify him again by not believing. And until you get this, you will not be free. And Jesus said it was for freedom's sake that he set us free. Because we can never be all that he wants us to be. He never be able to experience all that he is and all that he has. Because let me tell you what, he lives a free life. Nobody's ever been as free as Jesus. And if you want to know the freedom of the life that Jesus lives, then you've got to embrace this great gift of forgiveness. Amen. So let it go. There's nothing to let go, actually. Just thank him. When you come and receive the body and the blood of Jesus, when that event is made present, not repeated, made present, this eternal event, thank him. But all of your sins have already been forgiven. And even the ones in the future, they're already forgiven too. You say, well, won't that make me want to sin? Not if you're saved. Because your heart's been hooked. One's caught by the grace of God, no escape. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together.